It's 1881, and finally, after an arduous journey across the country, you've made it to your new home. You're here. You're in Texas, and you're trying to make a new start of things. This is hardly the Wild West. Texas became a state more than 40 years ago, and more than 2 million people already live here. The frontier, this is not. Homesteading is all well and good, but you have plans that are a little less, well, agricultural in mind for your future. See, you heard that a railroad is going to be coming to Texas, and it might just run through here. The railroad represents opportunity and prosperity, and most importantly to you, it represents customers. Many merchant fortunes have been made along the railroad, and you want to get your piece of that. A store to entice travelers and business folk before they head on to Fort Worth, Dallas, and beyond is a natural fit. So you've picked this small up-and-coming town to be your home, and your family is a little skeptical, but you're optimistic that they'll come around to it. This place is sparse, but it has the amenities of somewhere much larger. A school, a church, even some other stores, and there's even a post office. So you're really not that disconnected from the rest of the country. And so, after things are as squared away as they can be, you decide to take a walk around town to get your bearings. You stumble upon a small cemetery. It's small, but it's dignified, calm, and solemn, like a cemetery should be. And as you're paying your respects to pioneer graves, you get to thinking. It's a bit morbid, but if things go well for you, well, it might just be your name on a plaque here one day. Here, in the Dido Cemetery. Welcome to Texas Town, a quick dive into the history of the small and sometimes forgotten places that make up Texas. I'm Tony, and today we're taking a look at Dido, an ambitious little town with a habit for being just a bit unlucky when it comes to infrastructure. Established around 1848, Dido was named after the queen and founder of the ancient city of Carthage. It sat along a lucrative stagecoach route, but by the late 1800s, there were rumblings of a railroad being planned to come to Texas, and residents were hopeful that it would run through Dido. Located about 30 minutes outside of modern-day downtown Fort Worth, you'd be forgiven for thinking it's a part of Fort Worth because, well, legally it is. This isn't a desolate or abandoned place we're talking about here, despite appearing on many ghost town lists and even being referred to as a hidden gem online. Cruise around the area on Google Maps and you'll find that the cemetery from the intro is now flanked by a suburban home development and a golf resort. Dido, though, like much of Texas, was inhabited by Native Americans before the people who would call themselves Texans came along. The land that would be taken and made into Dido was most likely used by the Kickapoo people, though it's hard, if not impossible, to say when they began using the land and if they were the only people who did. The history of this tribe is complicated and epic, and it's impossible for me to do it justice here. But to give you an idea, we're talking about a people whose lands historically stretched from the Great Lakes all the way down into modern-day Mexico. They juggled foreign relations with the Iroquois and colonial France and Spain. There's undoubtedly a lot of very cool stuff to talk about here, but I'm not qualified to do it, so I'm not going to. Today, though, there are three federally recognized Kickapoo tribes. The Kickapoo Traditional Tribe of Texas only gained federal recognition in 1983. Prior to that, the Texas Kickapoo, some 600 of them, lived in makeshift huts beneath an international bridge that crossed the Rio Grande River. And it was there that they were made to carry ridiculously verbose ID cards that read, "Parolee, Kickapoo Indian pending clarification of status by Congress." Today, though, the tribe numbers more than 900 and has a 118-acre reservation near the city of Eagle Pass, which is some 436 miles away from Dido. The defining landmark of Dido that survived long enough to make a mark on the internet is that cemetery. It's still maintained to this day, and it enjoys official historic place status. The Dido Cemetery Association is still active, too, and you can get a plot there for about $1,200. Space is limited, though, and priority is given to those with a connection to the town. Curiously, the cemetery claims a mysterious benefactor living in Tripoli, Libya. I tried to reach out to them to learn more about this, but they never got back to me. The cemetery is filled with those who are drawn west by opportunity, and their descendants. The singer-songwriter Townes Van Zandt had some of his ashes scattered there in 1997, and much of his family is buried there. That name is important to Dido, Van Zandt. Townes' ancestor, Dr. Isaac Van Zandt, donated much of the land that the church and cemetery now sit on. Isaac's father, who coincidentally was also named Isaac, served as Texas ambassador to the United States when it was a republic, and he was instrumental in crafting the annexation treaty that would grant Texas statehood. Dido, though, was passed up by not one, not two, but three different railroads beginning in 1892. They would inevitably wind through the cities of Newark and Saginaw, not Dido. Saginaw, an industrial city so proud of its railroad that its Chamber of Commerce is housed in an old station, and it has a few old rail cars parked proudly outside. It's absolutely not intentional, but it's kind of funny when viewed in retrospect. If the railroads bypassing Dido were a wound, Saginaw decided that it would be the salt. And though Dido stuck around for a while longer, as far as I've been able to tell, it was never legally incorporated, and its post office closed in 1895. Its school, though, would remain a while longer. To be clear, Dido's legal status is a bit fuzzy. In its time, cities were established by an act of the Texas Congress, and Dido never got one. Saginaw received its official recognition in 1882, despite being settled before the 1860s. It was really just a matter of if the Congress came around to recognizing you. And Dido never got that, but it did get two more nails in the coffin in the 1930s. First, with the construction of the U.S. Highway 287 bypassing the town, and second, with the creation of Eagle Mountain Lake. The highway is pretty self-explanatory. We're used to hearing about stories of highways bypassing towns and killing them in the process. But the lake is a little bit more confusing. Today, you would think that Dido's position near Eagle Mountain Lake makes it an appealing place, but this lake, like most in Texas, isn't natural and serves as a reservoir for a dam, which meant that it had to be constructed. And as you can imagine, making a lake is a pretty noisy and annoying endeavor. And that construction, combined with the arteries of commerce flowing elsewhere, didn't really help Dido School's enrollment. Ultimately, the school board in 1947 made the decision to close it. But Dido is still here, even if it's not a true town. Local residents and families still gather to celebrate what they call Dido Day, a fantastic bit of alliteration in my opinion, and they mark the occasion by coming together to remember the town's history, to clean the graveyard, and just to catch up with one another. In 2009, they laid another plaque to commemorate the site of where the school once stood. If you Google Dido and manage to avoid the results about the singer or the ancient queen, you'll find aged websites with genuine and heartfelt recollections and discussions about the town's lore, including an alternate history claiming that the town was named after slang for horse droppings. So Dido's thread through history continues one way or another, though the deprecation of Adobe Flash Player certainly threatens much of the town's newfound digital history. All in all, Dido is a reminder that towns and places in general are fluid things. They're whatever we decide to make of them, legal status or not. Dido was never legally a town, but it certainly has its own history and culture, a culture that the attendees of Dido Day perpetuate. Places are what communities make of them, and who knows, your own neighborhood might have a history worth learning. Thanks for taking the time to listen to Texas Town. Hope you enjoyed your time in Dido. This is part one of a four-part series looking at the history of small towns in Texas, and there'll be a new episode out sometime soon. Our music was composed by Brian Ellis. You can hear more from him at brianellissound.com. That's B-R-I-A-N-E-L-L-I-S sound.com. Thanks to the Texas State Library and Archives Commission for assisting in the research for this episode. Librarians and archivists are fantastic people, and you should definitely support your local library. And like I said, the Dido Cemetery Association is still around. You can learn more at their website, didocemetery.com. Thanks again for taking the time to listen. Stay healthy and have a good day.